Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, welcome back to the What We Said podcast. Someone messaged me and they're like, I miss when you used to open the podcast with the podcast, and they put the musical notes like around podcast. I didn't even realize I did that all the
time. I didn't either. Welcome back, everyone.
I didn't realize that I like had a thing that I did, you know?
You're so quirky.
I'm so random. Anyways, I'm Chelsea, and I'm the brunette half of the podcast.
I'm JC, and I am the redhead half of the podcast, who Kendall Jenner just recently copied.
And she didn't even give you credit, which is honestly so rude.
It's like, it's so disrespectful. And then actually, shortly after Kendall dyed her hair red, Sydney Sweeney dyed her hair red.
She did?
Yes. Wow. And then someone also posted on TikTok that Emma Chamberlain has been pinning a bunch of redhead inspo on her Pinterest. So she could be next. And I was saying, I would love if she went red. I feel like she would look really good.
I can't believe that. They didn't even like credit you
Yeah,
though.
No credit.
Didn't they know you invented redheads?
I know. It's disgusting. But let me just say, like, I knew I had a chance with Booker, and this was my proof.
What if he breaks up with her?
he saw me at that Suns game, you guys. Like, I was on that Jumbotron, and I think that he gave Kendall an ultimatum. He said, I saw something so stunning tonight, and if you don't replicate that, like, I don't know. I don't know if I can keep going
with
this.
I'll have to leave you and find her.
Exactly.
Whoever was on the Jumbotron.
So he hasn't DM'd me yet, which is weird, but... We'll see.
We'll be waiting, Booker.
We'll be waiting patiently. Real talk, I think Kendall looks great with red hair. I think she looks beautiful.
My question is, did she literally bleach her hair and then dye it red?
Some people are saying they think it's a wig.
Because I was going to say, that's kind of a drastic hair thing for a dark-haired girl, a dark-haired girly to do. She's like borderline black hair.
That's true.
Like, she would have to literally bleach her hair first and then dye it red.
You think? Because I don't ever have to bleach mine, but mine's not so dark brown, maybe. Like, not as dark as hers naturally, but like, I don't bleach mine. I don't know.
Well, hers is like a light red, isn't it? Maybe it is a wig.
No, it was kind of darker red. Like, it's darker than mine. Mm. I actually really like the tone of it. Like, I think it's really
kind of
pretty.
Orangish.
Maybe I'm just going off this one TikTok I saw, this one video. It was the one I like reacted to, but it looks so pretty in that TikTok. But then everyone was like, no, her part, like the line of her part was so neat. It was almost like it was a wig. But she did her hair in a bunch of styles. And I'm like, I don't know. It looks real to me. I don't know.
Anyway. Like, her roots look dark.
Mm-hmm. Whoever did it, like, if it's real, they did a great job. Like, it looks very, very good.
I really like it on her.
Mm-hmm. It's fun for a change.
Didn't Gigi go red a while ago, too?
I don't remember. I really feel like a lot of people look good as redheads. Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's kind of rare that someone dyes their hair red and I'm like, eesh, no. I feel like a lot of people, more people than you'd even think, actually look really good as a redhead.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try it out soon. I'll bleach my whole head
and then
go red.
That would be
And you should dye your hair black.
Sends a shiver down my spine. Oh, we need to really quick talk about, you know what? I'm so offended. We said we did a quick Love is Blind recap and someone's replied and they said quick is not in your vocabulary. I said, okay, facts.
Yeah.
But this really genuinely will be quick because some people were like, did you watch the Love is Blind reunion? Like, what were your thoughts? I thought it was so boring. Yeah, I was so disappointed.
There was no juicy information.
I don't have that much to say about it other than that.
Yeah, it wasn't like, really the closure we wanted.
Shake was being an idiot as usual.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really surprising either. He was digging himself the worst grave. I'm like, what are you doing?
That boy. Also, though, it was kind of weird that, like, I agree that he was, like, being so just, he needs help. But at the same time, it was just, like, kind of a weird situation where the hosts were not really, like, journalistic. They were very, like, just buddy-buddy with
them. Yeah, just chatting like friends.
Which is kind to the people, but.
To the people that are sitting there with them.
Exactly. Yeah. But not to the people, us.
The masses. No, Shake is, I don't even, some people have this like visceral hate for him. I just don't like the way he speaks and I don't like his vibe.
No, but he honestly spoke one fact. Like he was like, I saw these people be real and then they all started to like act kind of fake. And I'm like, it's kind of true actually. Like a lot of them, I don't know, like they start acting.
What, you mean they were acting real when they were in the pods and then when they got out they were acting fake?
Or I don't know. Just the way that he said it made sense to me where I was like, I could definitely see that. I don't really have that much to back up that claim, but when he said it, I said facts.
Okay. I didn't really.
King Shake.
Oh gosh. <Just kidding. laughs> Like, we stand our king.
I think he was just kind of saying like maybe putting on a facade for people like, oh yeah, we're totally in love.
Yeah. The one thing that we have to recognize is that literally all of his castmates hate him, which means that he is not a great guy.
There's a problem.
There's a problem. Like if every single person, because there are a lot of cool people like Natalie and actually she's the only one. Like there are people there that seem pretty normal and level-headed. And if every single person has a problem with you, there is one common denominator and it's you. So that part of it does make me feel like, yeah, he's got something that's not right. But I just thought the reunion in general was boring. Like, I wanted to hear more about everything. And I felt like there was tea to be spilled and none was spilled. I think that Kyle and Deep D are literally dating.
Yeah, and they never
talked. And they didn't say a word about it.
Kyle's just like, I love her. We're like, sorry, you love her? Like, are you guys dating now? Like, he literally was like, I love that girl. I love her.
Oh, really?
Talking about Deep D.
I heard him say, like, I should have asked you to marry me, but I didn't. I don't know. Anyway, then I saw TikToks of them like dating. I'm like, why didn't you say something about that on the freaking show? That would have been way more entertaining. Anyway, whatever. Moving on.
We're excited to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Macy's. And yes, it's the Macy's that we're talking about. You know, Macy's Day Parade, Macy's at the Mall. They're iconic, honestly. Mm-hmm. They've been around and they know what they're doing. So as you guys know, this month is Women's History Month.
I'd love to see it.
We love women here on the What We Said podcast. Since 2020, Macy's has raised over $2.8 million in support of Girls Incorporated, which has funded opportunities for over 50,000 girls. Macy's has remained committed to supporting the next generation of leaders by empowering women today.
So if you guys go to macys.com/honors, it will pull up a bunch of women-owned businesses, which is amazing. And I'm on their site right now actually looking at a brand called Oma the Label, and it's basically just really cute gold jewelry. They actually have a lot of really, really good options on here, like chunky stuff, some more sleek gold jewelry, necklaces, earrings, bracelets. You guys got to go check it out if you're a gold jewelry type of gal like us. They also just have a tab that says women-owned businesses, and it just pulls up a ton of products, and all of the stuff is obviously made by brands who are made by women. And I personally love like so many women-owned brands that are like fashion or jewelry, because who knows you better than a fellow girl? So we love to see that. Join in celebrating Women's History Month by shopping brands owned and founded by women. And you can help fund mentorships and college and career readiness programming by donating online and rounding up in store for Girls Inc. Learn more at macys.com/honors. Go check it out.
Speaking of Love is Blind, you guys, you have to watch Love is Blind Japan. It's on Netflix. Listen with the subtitles. Everything about it is better. The way that they meet is better. Them as people, better.
Did you watch the whole season?
Yes, I finished it. Me and my sister watched it because my sister Abby came and visited me last weekend with my little brother and his friend. And we watched it. We started watching and we were like, we could not stop watching it because we were so invested in the relationships. Everything is so much more romantic. The way that they film it is so aesthetically pleasing. Where they are, like Japanese architect is just so stunningly beautiful. And the way that they communicate with each other is so respectful and so just sweet, honestly.
Wow.
And cute.
I really need to watch that.
Yeah. It just made me want to go to Japan so bad. But anyways, you guys need to watch it. If you're like, oh, dang, I need something to watch because I finished Love is Blind season 2.
Wait, is that on? That's on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need to check it out.
Did you just yawn?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, weirdly, I got my Aura ring. Maybe I mentioned that on the last podcast. I don't know. I've talked about it on YouTube a little bit.
Sounds like a birth control.
Aura ring?
Yeah.
Oh, like a IUD or something?
Yeah.
No, it's a little ring that's on your finger that like tracks stuff. And it will like tell you. I used to have this like hunch that I'm like, oh, I didn't get enough sleep. I'm so tired. And now it like tells me. It's like, you got amazing sleep literally every night. I'm like, oh, I have no excuse that I'm tired now?
Yeah.
Cool. But do you ever feel like sometimes if you have caffeine early in the day, like when this time of day hits, you are dead?
Yes.
That's how I'm feeling right now. But I'm going to, don't worry. I'm going to get pepped up here real soon.
Pump yourself up.
Yeah. I feel like this is my major dip of the day, especially if I have caffeine right in the morning. Yes,
it is. We usually record at night, like around like 7 or 8. And I was like, oh, maybe we should record earlier, like so we're not so tired. And also the Suns game. I mean, we'll probably miss it anyways. But I was trying to like make it so we could maybe watch the end of the Suns game. So we decided to record early in the afternoon. And then as I was coming over here, I'm like, oh, no.
No. We've done a bad thing today.
But that's okay. I'm going to summon the energy that is me.
Wow, that's very beautiful.
I am energy.
We today wanted to talk about
why we're sad.
Feeling like yourself, you know, and what that means. Cue Kylie Jenner saying, I'm getting my personality back, you know, I'm feeling like myself again. Because I feel like Chelsea and I have both gone through different things recently. And honestly, in the past 2 years, what I was going to say, I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I feel like I've gone through just dips of, and I think everyone does, of feeling not like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then dips where I feel so just happy and empowered and confident and feeling like, quote unquote, myself. What does that mean to you, Chelsea? Because you said you have like a quote or something about that?
Yeah.
Or was it just a thought?
I mean, it's kind of a thought that goes along with how I've been feeling about like, what does myself even mean? Like, what is feeling like myself again? Like, who am I to be, you know, is this just how I am? Like, what does that encompass? But I saw my friend Haley Bateman post on her story. She reposted a TikTok. And this guy, his username is @dale.ornish. Anyways, he said, your purpose in life is not to love yourself, but to love being yourself. If your goal is to love yourself, then your focus is directed inwards towards yourself. And you end up constantly watching yourself from the outside, disconnected, trying to summon the quote unquote correct feelings towards yourself or fashion yourself into something you can approve of. If your goal is to love being yourself, then your focus is directed outward towards life. On living and making decisions based on what brings you pleasure and fulfillment. Be the subject, not the object. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. You are experiencing life. Life is not experiencing you.
Deep.
Very deep. But as I was reading that, I think because it's been in the, I don't actually know if this was before or after we decided we were going to talk about the, like, you know, feeling like myself again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that just kind of encompassed how I have been feeling towards like postpartum. Why did I say this word? Postpartum because I don't want to cry.
Oh, no.
Nick was like, why don't you like hearing yourself cry? I'm like, I don't know. Does anybody like hearing their voice when they're crying?
No, just, I don't like, even like hearing my normal voice. Yeah. And then when you cry on top of it, I feel that.
True. Anyways, I think it's just been like trying to figure out, you know, people ask me like, how are you feeling? And it's like, I'm good. Like, I really am good. Like, I'm happy, you know, happiest I've ever been. It's like so amazing. But then at the same time, it's like, how is it possible to feel like the happiest you've ever been, but then have these like moments of like, I don't even know how to explain it. Just like a little bit of, I wouldn't even call them lows, just like moments of
confusion.
Yeah, confusion and what is like introspective look like discovery, I guess. Just like looking inwards towards, you know, who am I now? And like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And should I guess this is my biggest question. It's like, should I try and go back to who I was before pre-pregnancy, before these things happened? And because I was so happy, or should I just accept, you know, these things that my life is now, the way that my life is, and like, this is the new me, like, or maybe there is no new me. It's just always me.
Right. Does that make sense? Figuring out how to move forward.
Yeah. And so a lot of people, like a lot of moms were messaging me after I posted my story, just like this thing of like, okay, like every time I feel like I take two steps forward, I like take a step back. And so I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so good. I think I got the hang of all of this. Like, I'm so fine with how my life has changed. And then like a day will hit and I'll just feel sad and just feel like, dang, my life is like so different. Like, I'm so different. And it's not even necessarily sad. Like, I hate the new me. It's just, I think anytime you go through a change or like, you know, it's just kind of, you kind of grieve the old you, where it's like, you know, it's like a moment in time where you really acknowledge that life is happening, I guess. And you're getting older, maybe. And so I just have, it almost feels like life sometimes seems more sad to me because I maybe was just like floating and like just so happy. Like before I was pregnant, for like, I feel like for 2 years, I felt like quote unquote myself so much where I was just like, will I ever be sad again? Like, I feel so happy, like so confident, blah, blah, blah. And then pregnancy kind of like rocked it a little bit, but still my life wasn't that different, you know, like we still did the same things, but now it's so different. It's like, I have to adjust a lot of parts of my life, like, and things that when I say out loud, I feel silly about, where it's like, okay, I look different. My body's completely different. I don't know if I'll ever have, you know, the body that I had before I was pregnant. It's like, okay, I guess that's fine. But at the same time, it's like, dang.
Yeah. You know? Those are all, that's so valid though. I think change in general can just be very uncomfortable. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, neutral. It's like,
exactly.
It's just different. And you're, anything you're not used to, new territory, it's just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's like a learning process, you know, going through something that you haven't gone through before.
Exactly. And I think it's just when I can no longer just like do things spontaneously as much. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I will act as if I am the, you know, pre-pregnancy, pre-child Chelsea. And then I'll have moments where like, oh wait, I can't do that. Like, I actually can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then it'll kind of shock me like, dang, like my life is completely different, which is okay, but it's just different. And it kind of makes me sad sometimes. Maybe even just like in a melancholy way. Is that the word to say? Like in a just like, oh,
yeah, dang. Not like a deeply depressed way. Exactly. Just kind of
And I think obviously postpartum like comes with hormones. And a lot of people are like, oh, if you're breastfeeding, like your hormones just kind of still are playing with you while you're breastfeeding. So I also acknowledge that as well, that, you know, that's sometimes why I feel sad for no reason. It's just like, oh, my hormones are just kind of hitting me, and it's not necessary for anything in particular. But I also just think it just brings on a new, you know, you just care so much about, like, I feel like it's made me, it's like opened up my heart a lot more in a good way, but then also like brings in more opportunities to be sad about things, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Because you care more, it's easier to have your heart broken, I guess. So even like my sister was telling me how she went to like a funeral a while ago, or she heard about a funeral or something. And one of the speakers was like, even though this is really sad, you would never trade the love that you felt for this person while they're alive, like for this sorrow kind of thing. Like you would never be like, well, this sadness is just too sad. Like, I wish I never met this person.
Right.
It's like, that's the beauty of life, is like you have these moments where it's like, because you love so much and because you have so much happiness, there will be sadness.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just in like experiencing that a lot.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Relationships take work, especially the most important one you can have in your life, your relationship with yourself, which we're talking a ton about in this episode. A lot of us will drop anything to go help someone we care about. We'll go out of our way to treat other people well, but how often do we give ourselves that same treatment? So therapy, coaching, like, you know, self-care of any kind, these are all ways that we invest in ourselves, right? Because We want to be the best version of ourselves so that we can do all the things we want to do, live a happy and fulfilled life. That's, you know, we want to lower our stress levels overall. So this month, BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you that you matter just as much as everyone else does. And therapy is a great way to make sure you show up for yourself.
Therapy really is amazing. If you feel like there is something that's holding you back from living your best life, you know, mentally, emotionally, you definitely need to check out therapy. It's, if you haven't tried it out yet, you got to hop on the therapy train. Whether you are dealing with something like depression, anxiety, family issues, relationship issues, that is why we love BetterHelp, because BetterHelp is an online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Go give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and What We Said listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/whatwesaid. That's BETTERHELP.com/whatwesaid. Go check it out. We're jumping into an ad about one of our favorite little games, Best Fiends. You know how I know I'm becoming a real mom is because I play games on my phone. I know your guys' moms love to play little games on their phones. They get addicted and they actually like start spending money on it and stuff. Well, I have a new game that you can tell your mom about that's good for their brain. It's fun. It's addicting. And it's cute all at the same time. And that's Best Fiends, okay? You can play this on the airplane. You can play this while you're in line at the grocery store, at the DMV. Best Fiends has got your boredom covered, okay? So Best Fiends is a mobile puzzle game that anyone can download and play. Whether you have a few minutes or a few hours, Best Fiends is the perfect puzzle game to lose yourself in because you're just having so much fun.
The game features tons of cute characters that help you solve thousands of fun puzzles. The more you play, the more characters you collect, and the more you win, the more challenges you face. They really are so cute. They're like these little just character little creatures. And you can't put it down. My personal favorite time to play games on my phone is when I'm like traveling, when I'm on the airplane, you know, don't have access to other stuff. It really takes care of the boredom and you feel like your brain's working. So it's great. New characters and challenging puzzles are added all the time, and there are tons of fun events where you can win huge rewards in the game. With thousands of levels, you literally can play as long as you want and never get bored. Trust me on that. So if you guys want to check it out, download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. Go check it out. That's one of the main things that I was going to say too, is it's so cheesy and cliche, but if you don't have the lows, you really can't appreciate the highs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what makes life life, you know? And something also that I guess, I don't know if we've talked about a ton, like on the podcast, that I was thinking about when just brainstorming for this episode and just thinking about it, is Chelsea and I have always been on very much the same. It seems like we would joke about being on the same like life.
Like boy cycle.
Boy cycle. Like when we were younger and when we were in high school and then, you know, college aged, we were always on the same quote unquote boy cycle where we would date guys at the same time, kind of break up around the same time.
Was it intentional? Maybe.
Maybe. We got bored when the other was. No. And then we started like seriously dating Nick and Leif around the same time. And, you know, went
engaged,
through breakups.
Married.
Yeah, engaged, married, all of it kind of at the same exact time. And I was thinking like, our dynamic has not changed at all. Like, I don't think it ever will. Like, I feel like we will always have just like the same type of relationship. But I was thinking, this is the first time that we've had like a very, very different life stages. That has never happened in our life together, which is so like as if we're like married. But it's interesting to like think about because, but at the same time, what's cool about it.
Don't do this to me, girl.
Is that I feel like we have like still found such a way to like relate to each other, even going through like very opposite, legitimately opposite problems where it's like, you know, you were going through the depths of your pregnancy and being like extremely sick at the same time I was going through infertility treatments. But it's been cool because it's like, I feel like we have still found ways to relate and like be there for each other.
Empathize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But my point of saying this is like our lives now are different than they were like 2 years ago, like you said, and it's a different dynamic. And it is that thing where you're mourning what was, but then you're excited about what
exactly,
is. And
yeah,
it's like all of those emotions wrapped up in one.
Yeah, it's like you can have those like at the same time, like the mm-hmm. mourning and the excitement and the, you know, looking forward to like the future and how. Maybe this is the Enneagram 4 in me that comes out, where it's just like, I see, you know, life as life-changing. So it's so beautiful. It's so exciting. Like when I see Case even just get older and like one day or outgrows his clothes, it's like this bittersweet feeling where it's like, it's so exciting to see somebody like growing
up
right in front of your yeah. eyes. But also you're like, oh, like I'm sad that you used to be this like tiny little baby. And now you're, I mean, he's only 2 months, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Like you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, you've been growing so much. But I feel like it's hard because, yeah, I 100% agree with you. And we were like talking about this over text the other day because it was just like, it's hard because we don't know exactly what to say to each other to make it better necessarily. But I almost feel like that's better because it's like comfort on a deeper level than surface level. Like, oh yeah, been there, done that. Like with someone yeah. just relating to you, it's like, okay, we're both, does that make sense? Like
yeah,
we're
struggling in different ways, but like being willing to like, yeah, have empathy for each other still.
Yeah, we're both yeah. experiencing suffering, I guess, in different ways, or like pain mm-hmm. in different ways. And we don't have to like, it's, they're so different. There's almost no comparison in them. So mm-hmm. it's, I don't know. I think it's, we're able to like get to a depth for each other. I think probably both of us feel this way too with it, where it's like, I've felt in general, when I think whenever you're going through either infertility or like literally motherhood or pregnancy or whatever, because it's your body and it's like your, I mean, obviously, and your husband, but mm-hmm. your body as a woman.
Yeah.
It's really easy to feel like really lonely. Like mm-hmm. it's in a way where like you can be surrounded by so many people and like people can really be showing you empathy, but it's just like
nothing can.
Yeah. You're yeah. just like, I'm still like, no one knows exactly how I feel and no one is going to like truly understand. And you have to kind of be okay with that. It's like what I've found out. It's like you shouldn't even really be looking for someone who's going to come and like fix it and be there and like understand 100%. It's like, it's just how it is. Like you, I don't know. That makes me sad, but.
No, even if someone has been through the same thing, and this doesn't just have to pertain to infertility or motherhood.
Even if they have
been through the exact same thing, quote unquote, it's not the exact same because they're not
exactly.
you. So no one will ever understand, yeah, your struggles, period. Like,
yeah.
they don't know what it's like to be inside of your head, inside of your body, and going through life with your perception and your thoughts. So it's true. It's like, at the end of the day, you have yourself. Like, that's who you have to
yeah.
rely on and to like get through things. And something that I had written down too is like, I feel like feeling like myself, you know, that phrase to me means feeling connected to myself. And it doesn't, like I was thinking at first it meant to me like feeling confident and like feeling happy. Yeah, that's a part of myself, but feeling like myself, I'm not always going to be that confident and happy person. But it's about feeling like connected to who you are and knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that we have to like get to know ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, you have to literally be like your own best friend, because that's what I've realized is like, I'm very hard on myself, but I've realized I'm like, I'm the only one that I have. Like you said, like when I'm going through infertility, no one else gets it. They, even if they've gone through it, they don't have the same exact experience that I do. And like, I have to kind of be my own like advocate and my own rock and my own, you know, even though I have amazing people around me. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You have to be okay with it. Like you have to accept yourself as you would accept other people. That's what I'm like figuring out, and accept the turbulence, I guess, that you go through just like you would accept somebody else. And like, you know, I think recently, even in the last like, you know, postpartum period, I've almost been trying to force myself to become myself again, like my quote unquote self.
Mm-hmm.
In very like surface level ways where I'm like, this is myself. Like I like to do this, like, but and kind of identifying myself by things that I like to do or things that I used to do or things that I used to like. And when it comes down to it, like that's actually not really like who you are. Like who you are is so much deeper than that. Like it's creativity, it's service, it's joy. It's like these connection, all these creativity. I already said creativity. So I think I've been trying to like connect with myself in very surface level ways instead of deeper ways. You know what I mean? Like I'll be like, oh, well, you know, I used to play tennis a lot. Like, so maybe if I start playing tennis again, I'll start feeling like myself again.
Yeah. Grasping at anything to make exactly. you feel something.
Yeah. Or like getting my body back to how it was. Then that's how I'll feel like myself again. Mm-hmm. But I actually was talking to your dad in one of our calls. We actually have like, since I've been pregnant and like had Case, we haven't talked that much. Mm-hmm. But we talked like a couple weeks ago and I was saying, I was just kind of explaining like how it's been hard postpartum to accept like my body and not even necessarily the way it looks. Like, yes, that's definitely a part of it because it's such a shocking, I think, shock to the system to see your body change really fast. But also just in general, like I kind of was explaining, like I said, I just don't feel like my body's mine. Like it just doesn't feel like it belongs to me. It feels kind of foreign. And you know, because I'm breastfeeding. So it's like a food source and it's like healing steel. It just feels like business. Like it just, you know, and it's changed so much. So like the way that it looks as well. And I'm just sore from things. And so anyways, I was just kind of saying that. And I was saying, I realized I used to think I didn't have an attachment to my body. I didn't think I had an attachment to the way I looked, but apparently I did because it's kind of testing me now. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, your body never really was yours anyways. And I was like, okay, true, actually. And I kind of was thinking about that, how, like, if, again, we identify ourselves as our bodies, then that's going to be where we put a lot of our
self-worth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of hit me, like, as a good reminder where it's like, okay, I definitely need to be reminded of that. And it was good that I can kind of look at this as a challenge to really reconnect with like who I am and not have it be like just okay because I am okay with the way I look or I am. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I do. It's almost like just taking it completely out of the equation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like neutral where it's like, oh, I did think I was neutral about my body when I liked the way that I looked.
Right.
But it's harder to say that when you don't like it. And I think I kind of had disconnected from that because there have been lots of points in my life where I really genuinely didn't like the way I looked. Mm-hmm. And I thought I worked really hard to, you know, get to a place where I was. And I did feel like I'd made so much progress, but I'm realizing that I still did have attachment to the way that I looked and it was easier for me to accept myself. But anyways, and it's not like I am that different looking, but when it's yourself, you just notice so much more. Like literally Nick's always like, you look the same. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, I'm just like, I'm getting to know a new body. It feels like a different person.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, in conclusion, I have no solutions to this.
Conclusion? I also have been through an identity crisis with my chin. Yeah, I don't want to even compare the two because they're literally not the same at all. But I feel like even just having swelling and pain and like not being able to move my face or talk, a ton of girls have reached out to me being like, it's so normal to feel like not yourself. Also when you're recovering from like cosmetic surgery, like I have been, which has been very validating because I felt like an idiot for like, I mean, I haven't complained about it much, but I've jokingly, you know, been like, I feel ugly. Awesome. And a lot of girls have just said like, you know, when they got their nose done or whatever, they had a ton of swelling for months. They're just like, it just does feel like you just don't feel like yourself. And you're like, excuse me. And it's your face. And so you feel different. So again, I'm not going to compare that to like postpartum because it's not the same, but.
Well, it's almost like it's worse actually. Well, it's your face. I feel like anytime it's something that you look at all the time, like it, and it changes, it just feels uncomfortable because it's something new.
Yes. But I feel the same way where I'm like, oh, I don't care. Like I'm cute. And then I'm like realizing that when I am swollen and I'm making YouTube videos, I'm like, I had a moment
maybe
where
I don't have the self-love I thought.
Exactly. I was like, I might not post this YouTube video because I look so ugly. Like I hate the way I look. But I did post.
She's strong.
I'm an authentic queen. I think this is easier said than done, but I think not expecting to feel good 24/7 actually has helped me a lot. And that's something, you know, I feel like I'll hear stuff on podcasts or read books or something, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't click for me or I don't internalize things for a while. And so this is one of those things where I feel like I've truly internalized recently that I'm not going to feel good all the time. And it has changed my life genuinely, because when I have an off day, when I feel ugly or unmotivated or something, I kind of can recognize, it doesn't make it necessarily easier, but I can recognize that, number one, I have felt this way before and it's going to get better, and that I just can't expect to always be perfect and always mm-hmm. have this perfect life where I feel amazing, I look amazing, everything's going according to plan. Like, that's just not realistic. And again, that's easier said than done to just, you know, completely accept that. And it's not like I fully, you know, have come to full acceptance, but that has changed the game for me, is telling yeah. myself that, actually telling myself that out loud, being like, I've felt this way before and it's going to get better.
Yeah. You know, I love that. As you were saying that, it reminded me of something that I was thinking about that I kind of wanted to maybe say or complain about. No, but with expectations, is I think expectations can be one of the most harmful, like, things you could do to yourself and other people, because it creates so much disappointment and just so much sadness and, you know, anxiety and all these other things. Because I had an expectation that I put on myself that I didn't even know. Like, okay, after 8 weeks, I'm going to give myself, pretty much in my head, I never said this out loud, but I'm going to give myself 8 weeks. And during those 8 weeks, I can relax and it's okay if I look different. It's okay if I, you know, my life's different. But then after those 8 weeks are done, I'm going back to exactly how I was before. Like, you know,
it's crunch time, baby.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to be donezo, ready to go. And I think after the 8 weeks came and I wasn't feeling that way, like, I almost felt worse because I had that expectation. So when I woke up and I felt like I looked different, or I felt like my life was different, or, you know, I felt like I should be doing more, like, I was like, okay, I got to go back to work 100% like of the time, and no easing into it. Just right. like, you know, zero to 100. And it almost was worse for me that I had the expectation, because there was really nothing that was different from week 7 to week 8, except for the expectation that I should not be that way still. And so I've kind of just decided, I'm like, okay, I have to just be okay with how I'm feeling that day. And physically, if I have to literally, like, lay in bed all day, or if I have to sit on the couch because I'm not, like, feeling great, you know, down yonder, then that's okay. Or if I'm not physically feeling up to it, or I have to cancel plans even though I really want to go because, like, case needs me, or it's just less, you know, convenient, or it's easier, whatever it is, then that's okay. And I just have yeah. to come to accept, like, I don't have to force things.
Yeah.
And
I think it's almost worse to put a timeline on exactly. healing or things like that, because even with, you know, going back to my infertility stuff, like, last summer, I kind of was, I don't know, basically there was no way for me to predict how I was going to feel, or be like, okay, if this doesn't work, I'm going to just, like, snap out of it and not care anymore. Mm-hmm. And like I kind of had done similar things where I was like, okay, I'm going to
like, I allow myself yes. empathy for this amount of time.
Yes. Literally put a timestamp on it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to try these three different, you know, these three treatments for these 3 months. And if that doesn't work, like, I'm snapping out of it, and, like, I'm not going to, you know, be sad anymore about
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
And I realized, like, it's kind of actually, ironically, exactly what you said. Like, after those 3 months were up, like, I was the most sad I'd ever been, like, mm-hmm. in that fourth month, because, like, it was just added disappointment that it didn't work and blah, 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 whatever. But then a few months later, it took me, like, a few additional months, and then I truly did feel a lot just happier and healthier and stuff. But it's like, that's nothing you can put a timeline on. It's just, it's just the way life is, and how healing is, and how it just, stuff takes time.
Yeah.
So,
and I think we can really change so much about, well, change our moods, first of all, and how we're feeling about things, literally with just a perspective change, and, like, wording things different, and accepting the fact that life is ups and downs, and that's the experience of life. And kind of going back to, like, the quote that this guy was saying, it's like, if your goal is to, like, love yourself as an object, you're going to try and, like, mold yourself that, like, okay, well, what do I want myself to look like? Like, you know, mm-hmm. how can I make myself a project to be, you know, the best version of myself that I can be? But if your goal is to love being yourself, then your focus is directed towards life, and, like, oh, this is something that happens during life, and that's okay. And I am looking outwards, and I'm not so obsessed with myself, that it's more of just, enjoying life. The things that happen in life and accepting them as, you know, the beautiful parts of life, the ups and downs, the sadness. Like I was saying about the quote from the funeral, it's like you would never say like, I don't want this sadness, so take away how happy I felt and how much I loved this person.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of life.
We love our sponsor, Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you are keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. They have so many delicious recipes. Also, you guys know we also love HelloFresh, and HelloFresh actually owns Green Chef now, and we love both the brands. But it is the most sustainable meal kit. You can enjoy your greens while being green. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. It's convenient and easy, so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef's pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices get you more chef-curated flavor in less time. You can also avoid long lines at the grocery store. It's super convenient and easy to follow recipes that are delivered right to your door.
As you guys know, I'm vegan, and sometimes I get stuck in the loop of eating the same meals over and over again, but that is not a problem with Green Chef. You can really mix it up in the kitchen, you know, spice it up, literally. They have these Mediterranean squash bulgur bowls that have kale, figs, pistachios, lemon. They also have things like white bean salad sandwich. They've got soups. They've got so many different like sandwiches, bowls, ways to incorporate your vegetables in there and make sure that you're eating a nutritious meal, all while having a positive experience in the kitchen. So go to greenchef.com/whatwesaid130 and use the code whatwesaid130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. So that's greenchef.com/whatwesaid130 and use the code whatwesaid130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Go check it out.
I think another important like element of this, and this is something I feel like the older I get, maybe it's just like the age that we're kind of getting to, I feel like the longer I'm just on this planet, the better I know myself and the more I'm like getting more connected with who I am and inside deeply and not just like, you know, the surface level type of.
Yeah, whatever. It's like, I'm a photographer.
Exactly.
I'm an Instagrammer. It's like,
I'm an Enneagram 3. It's like, I'm not like living and dying by my labels at this point. It's like, I'm really just kind of naturally diving deeper into like who I am at my core and stuff like that.
What my zodiac sign is.
Yes. But I think recently I've figured out that I think in the past few years, like I've realized that I am a very independent person who likes to do my own thing, who likes to work on my own little projects and have things that I'm interested in. And for a while, I've probably said this before on the podcast, like I feel like me and Leif, because we work together 24/7, we were together literally like attached to the hip for our first like 3 years of marriage, probably even like 4 years of marriage. And then we both were like, okay, we're around each other nonstop. Like we need to have kind of our own things, our own hobbies. And so we've both kind of started to not grow apart, but like grow individually more, which has been, I think, really healthy and really good for me. And it's allowed me to realize that I am like I said, an independent girl, and I like to do my own thing. And what I'm trying to say is like individuality is so important and real, and understanding who you are specifically. Not everyone's going to feel that way. Like I like to go on drives alone. I like to, when Leif goes off and like him and Keaton go climbing or they go do something, I like my alone time. Like I actually crave it, and I think it's necessary for me to like recharge and think of good ideas and all that type of stuff. But basically what I'm saying is like take everyone out of the equation, and like especially on social media or people that you're potentially comparing yourself to, you know, you see this girl doing a morning routine and it's like, oh, I want to do that. It's like take every single person out of the equation and be like, what makes me feel connected to myself? And when do I notice that I'm like having a really fun time and mm-hmm. I'm like very feeling very good and very happy? And it's even the same concept of like what you resist persists and stuff. Like instead of trying to take away bad stuff, just add good. And I think that's what I've been trying to do more of lately. And like when I really reflect on what makes me feel happy and like fulfilled and excited, sometimes it is as simple as going on a walk with my friends mm-hmm. or going to the beach for sunset and things like that. When I can pinpoint like specific moments where I felt very at peace and I'm feeling just very happy and creative. And I just want to feel like that more, you know? Yeah,
definitely. Going off of that last thought too, yesterday I had the day where I was like, I'm just going to be okay with doing nothing today. Like I'm just going to have a relaxed day and I'm not going to tell myself I have to get any work done or I have to do this or that. Like I'm just going to rest, actually rest today. And the second I literally said that in my mind, I started having all of these like great ideas of things to do. And I'm like, why doesn't this come on the days where I like am planning on doing stuff? And it's literally like your mindset when you just let go of the expectation of having to do something and, you know, being a certain way and you just let yourself be who you are. It like opens up this like portal to like your truest self. It's so crazy.
It is crazy how the second you take the pressure off, I feel the same exact mm-hmm. way, even with something as surface level as TikTok. Whenever I like, I'm just like, I've been really trying to not force things like you were saying yeah. recently. Like I feel like in the past with Instagram, and I'm sorry that I like, I shouldn't apologize for this, but it's like, sometimes I feel like social media is just such a huge part of my life. And it has been for so long that it's like so many things I talk about have yeah. to do with it, because it's like, that's been literally has overtaken my life mm-hmm. for the past 10 years. And this should show you that. Like, I feel like my life revolved around Instagram subconsciously. Like I just always, you know, a few years ago specifically was like trying to capture moments for Instagram. I needed to get this. I took it so much more seriously probably than I needed to, like just being the overachiever that I am. Like yes, it was my full-time job, but I almost treated it like it was just the world. Like mm-hmm. the world would end if I didn't post a freaking Instagram story or something. And I forced so much for myself. I feel like I've always remained authentic and stuff in what I post, but I forced myself when I wasn't feeling it to just do it anyway. Yeah. Like, and that burned me out so much that now with TikTok, it's for
exhausting.
Instance, it sounds silly. It's like, yes, I want to work hard on these things, but when it's so connected to your life, like you at some point, I do the exact same thing where I'll be like, I do not have to make any TikToks today. Like, I want this to remain a fun avenue for myself. Like, and the second I like let the pressure off, I'm like, oh, I have all these good mm-hmm. ideas and I want to make them.
Exactly.
And so I've been super intentional about that lately, about not forcing things. Like if I don't feel like getting ready for the day and making a TikTok, I'm not going to force that.
Yeah.
Like
there's, exactly.
Again, there's a time and a place. There's laziness. Yes. Some things are maybe you're being lazy, but other times you need to understand that you do need to chill.
Usually when you are the laziest is when you are putting so much pressure on yourself. That's when you procrastinate the most, is when you keep telling yourself, I'm being lazy, I'm being lazy, I'm being lazy. It's like that only creates more laziness. At yeah. least for me. Maybe it's not for everybody, but the times when I'm motivated is truly when I lift all expectations off of myself. That's when I feel the most energized. That's when I feel the most creative and I want to be productive.
Oh, but definitely the exact same.
Yeah. As soon as I'm like, I'm such a lazy piece of crap. Like, what am I doing? Blah, blah, blah. Then I just literally feel horrible all day and I also get nothing done.
Yeah. Nothing good is going to come from just shizzing on yourself all day and yeah. you feel like crap. It's like, you're not going to get great work done.
No, definitely not. I also don't want it to come off like I'm complaining about all these things. I'm just, part of me is trying to be like real, quote unquote, and just like, because, I don't know, just explain how I feel if someone else is feeling like this. Mm-hmm. Then again, I'm not even giving you any solutions because I don't really even know them and necessarily, but sometimes really all you need to hear is just like someone else has been feeling the exact same way. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think you need to apologize at all. Like,
no apologies here. Oh, I forgot. I remembered the first one and I just remembered the second one. The first one is that I think sometimes it's hard for me to, because we're constantly bombarded with like content from people, like you were saying, and this is what reminded me of it, that we kind of start to mold ourselves after those other people. Mm-hmm. And especially like for the best example I have is when I watched Gossip Girl and I was like binging that. Like when me and Nick were first married, he kept being like, you are talking and acting like the girls on Gossip Girl. Like you start talking a different way when you're consuming that content. And I was like, oh, true. And then I was watching Inventing Anna. Did you ever watch that show?
I haven't watched it.
And I kind of started like acting like her. And I'm like, it's not really something I like to Nick. I would say stuff that was kind of like how she talked. And Nick's like, why are you talking like Anna, that girl? And I'm like, I don't know. This is horrible. Like you kind of start to lose like any sense of, you know, your own compass when you listen to what everybody else says. And when you try and, you know, you think, oh, that's cool about someone. Like, I'm just going to take that from them. But yeah, like you said, when you strip it all away and you look like, okay, actually, who am I? Like,
what do I like?
Yeah. What do I like to do? What's good for me? What makes me feel good? And, you know, sometimes it does require you to actually get off of social media to like stop watching, you know, stuff that you maybe have been like binging or watching a ton of and just get back to the roots.
Yes, for sure. I don't know if this relates, but I want to say this really fast. Like when you were mentioning just barely how you don't want to complain, but like you just want to say how you really feel and stuff. I feel like that's something that's very refreshing to me is people just saying how they feel or how it is, whether it's good or bad. And something that I've been thinking about lately is that a lot of times I feel comfortable saying more of the negative stuff because I feel like, you know, a lot of people can relate to it and you're sometimes praised for it. It's like, thank you for being so open. But like the second you're, you know, positive, you're like, life's been going really well. People are like, oh, we get it. You're so, you know, everything's so great. And an example of this is we were at the beach for sunset. We're having like this little campfire or like a little fire pit. And this random couple came up to me, Leif and Keaton, and they were like, it was actually a very like weird encounter, but they came up to us. They were, I don't know, in their 50s probably. And they were like, hi, like we were just wondering, the guy was saying, I have like some sons that are moving to California. Like, what are fun things to do around here?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, like
The beach.
Yeah. We're like, well, this. And so we were trying to come up with things that we like do and whatever. And Leif was like, well, we're kind of lame. Like, we don't really do much and blah, blah, blah. And then the guy said something else. And he's like, sorry, we couldn't help. Like, we're just boring. Like, Leif was saying this. And when he left, I like actually kind of got mad at Leif. I was like, why did you keep saying that, like, we don't do anything and that we're just a boring, like, married couple? Because that's what he was saying. He's like, I don't know. I just, like, couldn't think of anything. And I wasn't mad, but I was just saying, I'm like, we have a very fun life. Like, we do a lot of fun stuff. We love to travel. We like go to the beach often for sunset. We do a lot of stuff. And I feel like it's just conditioned in us to be like, oh, we're not that cool. Like, not, I'm not saying me and Leif, just in general as people, mm-hmm. like you don't want to ever show off. And I was saying, like, is that how you truly feel, that we're like a boring married couple that like sits at home? And he was like, not at all. Like, he literally goes, I messed up. And we were laughing, but I was saying, I'm like, it's just crazy because I do the same thing. Like, yeah. I'll be like, oh, well, I'm lame. I just, you know, when really it's like, I think I have an amazing life. Like, yeah. I love what I do day to day. And there's a lot of things that I'm so proud of. And like, I don't want to ever verbalize them because I feel like it's showing off. But it's so refreshing to me when other people do. And so I feel like, you know, on our podcast, like, that's why I love our podcast. Because we're
the best.
Because we can say the good things in our life and the bad things. That's how life is. But
yeah,
it's like sad to me that we can't celebrate sometimes. I mean, we can, but sometimes it's like down upon.
Yeah.
To be like proud of yourself, or like, we have the coolest job ever. It's like, okay, we get it. Like,
yeah. You know, on social media, I think you see it happen. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast or just we've, if you took a shot for every time we said that. I don't know if we've talked about this or if we said it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I always see on Instagram and on social media, people being praised for sharing the negative, and then if they do share the positive, being accused of not being real.
Exactly.
And it's like, happiness is real. Joy is real. Like, having really good days is real. It doesn't mean that there aren't like bad moments in between. And it doesn't mean that like we don't share all of our happy moments too. Like, we don't share all of our bad moments, but sometimes we don't share all of our happy moments. And so, but I think because you see it being praised and like you get attention when you're sharing like the negatives, and you also feel like people bond more with the negatives, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh yeah, that happened to me too. Like, I don't know, for like the shock value or something. And I'm not saying other people, I do that all the time. Like, I've even said this about like pregnancy and birth and motherhood. It's like, it was like hard for me because I felt like, yeah, pregnancy was definitely like very hard. Like for me, I didn't.
It's okay. You can say
like, I don't miss being pregnant. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was just not fun and like whatever. Did I love the fact that I was pregnant? Of course. Like, I was so grateful to be pregnant. Did I love the act of being pregnant sometimes? No. But I didn't feel like I could really say like, oh, I love being pregnant. Like, you know, being pregnant, I'm just so happy, so much joy, because I feel like, first of all, if you put that on social media, you seem like you're being fake. Like, you mm-hmm. seem like you're being like living in La La Land or something. And also it's like, you know that other people aren't happy, and you know that other people like are struggling with infertility. I have so many friends, including you, who are going through it. So it's like, I don't want to be over here like, I am so happy I'm yeah. pregnant. You know yeah. what I mean? And I think even with birth, like, I think something changed when I like had, you know, my birth experience, because I realized I didn't want to be one of those people who just contributed to all the negative, scary birth stories you mm-hmm. hear. And then, of course, I still got messages like, you brag about your birth like a lot. You brag about having a birth the way you wanted it, when it makes a lot of us sad because we didn't get that. And it's like, I 100% took that into account when I was like talking about my birth experience. Mm-hmm. But I've heard a lot of bad birth experiences.
Yeah.
People, that's all people talk about. Like,
right.
I rarely heard positive birthing experiences. Mm-hmm. Even though they're out there, people are scared to share when it's something's like really good, because it does seem like you're bragging. And yeah. so I was like, I know that I didn't want to come across bragging, because first of all, it's not like I had that much control over it, like how it went. I'm so grateful it went like the way that it did.
Yeah.
Not to say it wasn't excruciating, but you know. And so I'll even catch myself talking to people who, I was talking to my friend who was pregnant, and she was kind of asking me about it. And I caught myself the first thing saying was something negative, like about birth. Like, well, you know, that is, you know, crazy, or it is like really painful. And it's like, no, actually, like, let me take that back. It was like the best day of my entire life. Like, you're about to have the best day of your life. Like, let me just leave it at that. And I'm not going to give you advice or tell you these scary stories. Like, you'll go through it anyways. So right. I might as well tell you it was great.
You might as well contribute to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, being real has just this connotation of like, oh, you shared your messy house. Yay, you're real.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like, again, you can also have very positive, real moments. And like, we should be allowed to share that. And I think the thing is just in today's world, I think when you do have a platform, like, there's all, what, or whether you don't have a platform, even if one of your TikToks goes viral, it's like, you're bound to have someone who watches it who doesn't relate, or who inserts themselves and it doesn't speak to them, or exactly. they don't agree. And I don't know, it's hard to navigate that sometimes. Like, when you do just want to be authentically yourself, but you feel like no matter what, you're kind of going to get, you know, someone saying something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, all you can be is yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think that's something that we've been like stepping into a lot more recently.
Yeah.
And
it's been put to the test.
Yes.
But I'm glad we both had identity crises at the same time.
Same.
See, life does always put us in the same cycle.
Exactly.
Even if it's different on the outside.
We had the birth of the baby and the new chin in the same few months.
Literally.
Recovery, healing.
New bodies.
New bodies, who dis?
Seriously. Now on to the vapid stuff.
I'm a vapid valley girl. So let me give you some tips, guys, if you want to be a valley girl.
Green
like
juices,
us.
Morning walks, and buying expensive clothes.
These are some things I wrote down that helped me feel.
When there's poop on my shoe?
Cool.
Sorry, I just put on your rug too.
Awesome. These are some things that helped me feel connected to myself, okay? And complimenting others, complimenting strangers, doing service for others. This just makes me so happy. Rare Beauty actually had reached out to me, and they basically asked me to pick someone to like send a
little. I didn't see them.
Here's the thing, girl. I know you didn't want more PR. I know that stressed you out. Don't play with me.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Gaslights me? Cool.
I did see that. And I blocked it. No. Sorry, keep going.
Rare Beauty reached out to me. They're like, You can send a package to like a woman in your life who would love some like fun makeup. And I know that Rachel likes Rare Beauty. Like I remember when I had some of their stuff, she was like, oh, can I try it? Anyway, so I picked my girl Rach and she got her package and she texted me and she was like, oh my gosh, like, thank you so much. This made my day, whatever. Sent me a photo of it. And it just made me like, it made my day just like seeing that, that, you know, and that wasn't even that hard of work on my end. So thank you, Rare Beauty. That wasn't like something that I had to do grueling work over, but it just like made me happy. Like, and I think just doing service for others, even as simple as complimenting someone, whether it's a stranger or your friend or anything, like it just makes you happy. So,
and you know what? This is a very quick thought. Quick. Yeah. I think it's really good to go through things that, you know, test your own self-love and like your, and you know, times where you do feel lonely and times where you do feel sad, because it makes you think like, if someone else is feeling this, I want to make them feel better.
Yes.
Sometimes when you are just like living your best life and you
like forget.
You do stop thinking about like, oh, I should, you know, do something nice for someone else. Someone else could possibly be sad, you know, because you're just happy.
Living in La La Land for sure. Okay, just switching things up. So recently I went to a coffee shop alone, you know, worked on my laptop, just had a little moment. And that was just fun. It's like, again, kind of just the concept of being your own best friend and like romanticizing your life and making little moments special, whatever that means. It can be a very small thing. I'm going to say going on a walk, because that really, I really do love that. Getting out in nature, walking, like putting your favorite podcast on, or just, you know, listening to nothing. Recently, I got some champagne glasses to put like my poppy or my Olipop in there. And I had that with dinner the other night, or like even putting like an iced matcha or an iced chai in there. And this inspo came to me from a Pinterest photo that I saw. And I was like, you know what? And also a lot of people do like kombucha in a wine glass. Like I've heard that for a long time. And I have like no cute glasses at all. So I was like, okay, I want to get some like fancier glasses to, you know, spice things up a little. And these are just like fun, again, just fun little things. This is not that deep. I'm not saying go get a champagne glass that's going to cure your depression. Okay, girls. I'm just saying like, these are just fun little things that I've been doing recently that like make me happy and make me feel like I'm living in, you know, my own fun little world. Going on drives and listening to my favorite music.
Mm-hmm.
Until Spotify logged me out.
Seriously, and I can't remember my password. Why did Spotify do that?
I went on a journey today figuring it out. I was like attached to my Facebook, which was a freaking email from address from 1992. Gosh.
Mine was like literally Blue Eyed Cheerleader. Tell me I'm not getting sex trafficked with that freaking.
Oh, mine's Volleyball email. Star. Never played volleyball. Anywho, once I get, I just actually gained access back to
I'm like, I am 12 and I'm Blue Eyed Cheerleader. Yeah. Pink girly girl, I'm 12.
It's like such a target. Good, nothing good's coming from that. Speaking of playlists, working out while I listen to my Hot Girl Gym playlist, which is kind of a knockoff of like a playlist that was already, it was like a gym playlist that I found, but I started adding like songs that I liked from it because it was like a huge playlist. Any song that I was like, okay, I'm feeling pumped, I'd add it to my own. I don't know if you guys can like follow it. I really don't know much about
Spotify.
My
gym songs are always like the most vulgar songs.
Oh, they're awful. Yeah.
They're all about like,
Jilly, don't listen to the Hot Girl Gym, please. Not when you're doing a sweat app in the morning. Okay. These are very, again, surface level, but just like putting together an outfit that maybe you wouldn't normally wear, like mixing patterns, mixing colors. Like for me, I've never considered myself. I actually always verbally say like, I'm not a fashion girl. Like I'm always just like, that's not my strength. Like I feel like I'm not that good at putting outfits together, but I'm trying to like kind of just stop saying that and just put together fun outfits because I've been enjoying it lately. I haven't always cared, to be honest with you. So that's part of it. But recently I've been kind of having fun, like getting more dressed up. Maybe it's because I've been wearing sweats.
That's what fashion is. Fun. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I think it might be because I've been wearing sweats for the past like 2.5 years, legitimately. So I'm like sick of it or something. But actually recently I put together a little outfit that, again, was like something I wouldn't normally maybe wear because I mixed like a bunch of different colors together, but I thought it was cute. I went to a coffee shop and the guy working there, he's like, oh my gosh, I love your fit today.
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
You're like, guess what? I am a fashion girl. Yeah, thank you.
I'm a fashion girl now. Follow my fashion blog. No, but it was even just, I was like, oh, that's nice because like I actually put effort into this and got a compliment. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, for me this is going to be shocking, but like making content. When I literally take out every ounce of comparison and expectation and every single person out of the equation, I love making content. Mm-hmm. I love
creating.
I love creating. Like, I love taking fun photos. I love this podcast more mm-hmm. than life. I love making YouTube videos and like recording stuff on my camcorder and making it a vibe. Like, mm-hmm. I enjoy that so much. And the only time I start to like not enjoy it is only when I compare myself to like other people's content or I'm like, oh, you know, it's not doing well or something. Yeah. That's the only time I don't like it. Totally. And so when I take all that away, I love creating.
When it doesn't have to be anything.
Yeah.
It can just be what it is.
Exactly. I skipped one, but it's very, it's just like, vapid. You know, it's actually the opposite. It's like having deep talks with my friends, mm-hmm. which just I feel like happens naturally whenever, you know, we're together.
Yeah.
And that also like is just a form of connection. And yeah. like,
I think one of the things also, I have two last thoughts. The first going off of that, one of the things I've noticed and I kind of talked about on the Daddy Alert episode is how important like community is and how, you know, for as long as humans have existed, you know, raising a child, it's like it takes a village to raise a child. That saying, we've kind of lost some of that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's why people do so much screen time. It's like, that's their village. That, like, who else is going to watch their kids? Otherwise, they would have to be like holding and watching their kid 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have that like village to help them take care of their kid, to give them time to do things. That's how it was possible for, you know, women for so long to get so much done. And like, because they all worked together and like helped each other. And I think sometimes I think the worst things you could do when you're not feeling like yourself is isolate yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, it just makes you feel more lonely. Like, even when you don't, there have been times when I'm like, I just want to like be in my room and just like be sad and just, you know. But also like Case helps a lot because I'm not by myself. But even when I bring Case, when I go on a walk, or I'm like, I'm just going to go, you know, to lunch with friends or go do something, or like even just with Nick, it just instantly takes me out of being so involved in my own head and like takes me out of worrying about myself, that it instantly makes me feel better.
Definitely.
And something that actually Tessa posted on her story about, she said like ever since she, something that's helped her a lot with, you know, postpartum and just getting back into work and getting into the swing of things and feeling kind of like herself again, is getting dressed first thing in the morning. Like, get mm-hmm. dressed. And I saw another girl make a TikTok like, moms, this will like change your life if you get up in the morning and get dressed head to toe, and then mm-hmm. you're ready for the day. It will change the way that you like go about your day. So I don't do that every day. Obviously today I'm literally wearing sweats, but I've been trying to do that. Even if it's not like makeup necessarily, I don't do a full face of makeup. I'll just like brush up my eyebrows and clean off my face and stuff, and just do my hair, put on like jeans, put mm-hmm. on shoes. Like, it makes me feel so
it
much better.
Crazy. It's a huge like little boost of motivation for me too. Like,
yeah, it shows yourself that you're putting in effort.
Yeah, definitely. I completely relate. I mean, as we record this, I am literally in...
No, I'm a hobo right now.
Yeah, same. I am in black leggings and a gray sweatshirt, and I'm like, have literally been sweating in it all day. So, you know, I'm not a full-time fashion girly yet.
No.
But we'll get there one day. I hope this episode helped in some capacity. I don't know.
Hopefully it didn't make you sad.
It didn't. I don't think it... I hope not. And again, these last things that I was just talking about, like the fun little things, they're not meant to like make your life a million times better. It's just little tiny acts mm-hmm. that you can do to feel better. Maybe just momentarily.
Yeah.
And...
Wait, really quick. Okay. I forgot. Our merch is coming out.
Yes. Hopefully soon. In the next like two weeks.
Yes.
In the next few weeks.
Stay tuned on our Instagram stories. If you're not following our Instagram, you're dumb. But you need to follow our Instagram because that's where we do all of the entries. That's where we put all of the information for merch drops. And sometimes our merch drops are stressful. Okay. So you got to be there. You got to know.
You got to be in the know.
Okay. We're working on it. So keep your eye out.
Go follow us on Instagram. It's at What We Said Podcast. You can also be involved in like our story episodes, our advice episodes. We have an advice column every single last Friday of the month. It's like a little bonus episode. So if you want some advice, email us. hello@whatwesaidpodcast.com. We love you guys so much. And that's what we said. Bye.